This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I'm your host, Art Wiederman. Welcome to my podcast. I am very excited about the conversation I'm going to be able to share with you today. One of my long-term friends in dentistry, Janice Hurley, and I are going to visit today. And I saw Janice about a month and a half ago at the Speaking and Consulting Network meeting in Austin, Texas. And I just finished recording my 200th podcast where I talked a little bit about that. And Janice and I were just standing in the hallway chatting, and we were talking about, what's your new things? What are you doing these days? And she says, Art, I'm really getting involved a lot in helping doctors make the very important and complex decisions about whether or not to change your relationship with insurance and how to do that. And I don't think there's anybody better that I can have this conversation with. I'm very passionate about it. I am not going to sit here on my platform and say, you should all go off of insurance plans. It is a very, very complex conversation. Janice is an amazing, amazing coach. She's an image and branding consultant. She's got a book. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. So Janice and I are going to talk about that and some other things she's got going on. So we'll get to Janice in a moment. Again, I want to thank all of you for the honor and the privilege of your time in listening to my podcast. Like I said, we just did the number 200. I hope you listen to that one. We're recording this podcast in the middle of July, and it was actually published today. So please listen to that. I want to thank my wonderful partners, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. They have 140 wonderful continuing education courses, best clinical courses on the planet at a very reasonable price. You can find all my podcasts there. You can find my three videos that I've recorded. If you want to listen to me for an hour, talk about financial planning and retirement plans and metrics, go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. We're in the middle of the summer. It's the slow time for us CPAs. But if you guys haven't had any help from your CPA as far as planning, we've got you covered. Ide Bailey is the CPA firm that I am with. I'm a dental division director. We work with close to 1,000 dentists in our offices across the Western United States. If you need any help from me, send me an email at awiederman@idebailey.com or call me at 657-279-3243. And again, thank you, all of you, for all of you. We've been doing this for 5.5 years, and I get emails all the time. I've been listening to you from day one, and it's great.
Be sure to check out our new Ide Bailey podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
I do want to get to Janice because I've got so much to talk to Janice about. Janice is a dental coach. She's been in the industry many, many years. I've known her many years. As I said, she is an image and branding consultant. She has spoken at probably every major and smaller meeting around the country. I'd have to spend the whole hour reading all of her credits of her articles and her talks. When I think of Janice Hurley, I think of one word. I think of the word class. This might be one of the classiest humans I have ever met. The way she speaks, the way she carries herself, the way she dresses. I mean, she's just amazing. And I can't wait for you to hear what she has to say today on the topic we've talked about. She is an author. She has a book on damage called Dental Image Branding, How to Create Optimal Patient Impact. And she'll talk to you a little bit about that. So Janice Hurley, welcome to the Art of Dental Finance and Management.
Thank you so much, Art. How gracious. Very, very kind and so thorough. I've been in the business 35 years now. How long would you say you've been around?
I can tell you that on August 14th, I will have been around, to the point that I can apply for Medicare, but I have been a dental CPA. The day after Labor Day will be my 40th anniversary in the dental profession.
Wow.
So we've been, it's so cool too. I mean, you know, Janice, just all the people that we've met.
Yes.
And all the friends that we've made around the country, and I'm not even talking about the clients we've worked with. I mean, you know, the Deborah Engelhart Nashes and the Lois Bantas and the Linda Miles, all the people we could go on and on. I mean, it's been a cool ride, hasn't it?
Yes, yes. And we bring such a seasoned perspective, right? Because we're at that time in our career where we clearly know that there's this huge variety and of dental practices. And both of us deal with helping our clients understand the difference between gross and net, right?
Exactly. Well, that we try. Sometimes it's easier than other times, but yes, absolutely. So, but Janice, let's start the conversation off. Maybe just tell us a little bit about your professional journey, a little bit about your history, what you've done. And then I want to get into one of your passions, which we'll get to in a second.
Okay, excellent. I started off in medicine. I was hired to help rural healthcare facilities retain their MDs. They would bring them in and pay for everything for 2 years, and then the doctors would leave because they hadn't looked at a P&L. They didn't understand about overhead. So they would bring me in from the very beginning, and I would teach them scheduling and supplies and personnel, et cetera. And then when medicine started to become more managed care, if we can believe that, dentistry was not at that time.
No.
Yeah. And so I answered an ad at the Sacramento Bee in Sacramento, California for a company called Practice Perfect. And they did practice management. And I learned on site by working with Dr. George Nelson, and he saw patients from 3 in the afternoon to 9 at night. And then I paid the bills by still working as a practice management consultant for MDs. And then eventually, maybe 10 years in, I was invited to speak at ADA because a fluke or unfortunate tragedy kind of happened. Jennifer D. St. George was scheduled to speak, and her husband David became seriously ill.
Yes.
Yes, remember those days?
I know Jenny very, very well. I talked to her. I talked to her at CDA a couple months ago. Yeah.
And so I'm on stage, and then speaking about practice management and effective systems, and one thing led to another. And just like you said, I've spoken at pretty much all the major meetings. I speak on, you know, the new patient experience, reducing any aspect of shame with our patients, both from the paperwork to the way we answer the phones, et cetera. And I speak a lot on confidence. I work with women and women's retreats, and I am the Dentsply Sirona's speaking coach to put more and more of their speakers on the main platform. So I've done that for the last 3.5 years. So all things dentistry at this point in time, I absolutely adore. And I think we're both passionate about doctors, you know, be able to be informed about what's really happening in their practice so that they can make decisions with confidence. So confidence is key.
And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I want to touch on one thing, which is one of your passions. Yeah. You and I have talked about the fact that dentistry overlaps with photography. And I know that you've, you're a CrossFit person. Which I have great admiration. One of our also, I'm sure you know, Rachel Wall. So Rachel and I are Peloton buddies. I am just getting close to 500 rides on Peloton and still glad I did. So but I don't know if I'm quite ready for CrossFit yet. But anyway, talk about how you use photography in your work and how it tails in with dentistry.
Sure. So the visual has a stronger impact to the person that you're around than anything that you have to say. So that's why in a PowerPoint, you only put up a slide that helps bring across that particular point, right? And in dentistry, intraoral cameras and photography is just such a wise business decision to use it well. And so I even do remote coaching with dental practices to make sure that their photos are at the highest level that they can and should be, and knowing what to say and do with the patient. Because let's take the simplicity of a hygiene exam. So the doctor optimally has 3 to 5 minutes in there to do everything she or he would need to. And when the hygienist has a photo up there ahead of time that's nice and clear, and the hygienist has already said to the patient, this is what you're looking at. This is the crack. This is the separation, et cetera. It tees up the conversation with the doctor to be more complete. So I tend to have an eye for all things color and balance and what's important. And when I work in my dental practices, I go work with them quarterly, we will make sure to take photos that focus on the happy face of the patient and the happy team member. And I recommend all the offices every 6 months minimum, they block off a couple hours, invite patients in, and no longer use stock photos, but instead those photos are professionally done. And I initially got quite interested in doing better at photography when my youngest daughter competed in CrossFit maybe 10 years ago. And she was a beginner, so she wasn't on the main stage and the main people weren't taking her photos. So I bought the best camera, bought the best lens, and started taking photographs then until the last 2 years, she was on ESPN. I mean, she became that good. The CrossFit Games was publicized by ESPN, and there she was. So during the course of putting out these photos, a couple things I got to do was I was paid by brands of protein product, et cetera. So Heather Hippenstall, I mean, Marcus Foley, these really top athletes, and I got to be down there on the floor and photograph them. So that was fun. And then I photographed Jeff Berger for a dental magazine. He was on the cover of the dental magazine. So photography is a big piece of effectively doing what we should now in dentistry to make our patients the most comfortable, right? So we're not trying to describe it. We can show them.
And I don't hear that enough from my clients where they use it. Oh, well, these cameras, they're all complex and I don't know how to use them. And right? I mean, we get those objections.
Yes. And one of the things that is a must have is downtime where you have no patients and the team is trained. And it's really hard for any of us to get comfortable with a new software, a new piece of equipment, whether it's the scanner or, software that Pearl software, something, you know, something that reads decay, et cetera, without having that ability to try it, learn it, and not be under the gaze and the pressure of a patient close by. So you actually make money when you book time with no patients.
That's a great point. I also think, Janice, that you find out about your team when you bring these new technologies and new ideas. You're going to have an employee who's going to say, oh, wow, this is cool. I want to learn about this. I want to integrate this into the practice. I want to get this so that we're helping our patients. And then you get the other person who we call a chair filler who goes, oh, that's too complicated. And I don't want to do that. And that's not fun, right?
Right.
Don't you find out about your team that way?
All the time. And I kind of go against the grain or swim against the stream when it comes to hiring new team members. The number one thing that doctors will tell me is I'm looking for experience. And in my hygienist, you know, yes, but and even then, every team member to me, the best quality that they can bring and you should be interviewing for is confidence, because a confident individual, right? A confidence has to do with how you view yourself and your abilities in life. And a confident person is more willing or more likely to say, all right, I've never done this before, but it's an opportunity to learn versus this is going to make me look bad in front of everyone. So hiring confident people is a really big deal.
Well, and I think attitude, I mean, I when I was running a CPA firm for almost 40 years, what I would always say to my team when we're hiring somebody and say, okay, we're going to hire attitude. I can teach skills,
yes,
but I can't coach attitude.
Nope.
And attitude, confidence, those are the things. So we could spend the whole hour, Janice,
talking about that,
but that's not what we talk about today. So folks, let me tee this up for Janice in this conversation.
All right.
In my opinion, the two biggest challenges that we have in dentistry today are, number one, the challenge of finding dental team members, hygienists. We know hygienists have left the profession, the pandemic and all this kind of stuff, as well as the challenges that dentists are having from PPO plans and having to discount their fees from UCR fees. And that's the conversation that I want to start Janice down the road, because she is very, as am I, very passionate about the fact that, and again, we're not saying, you know, listen to this podcast, walk into your office tomorrow morning and go tell your team that we're dropping all the plans today and we'll send a letter. No. That's not what we're doing today. So Janice, let's start the conversation about the steps. What are the steps? Someone's listening to this podcast. And again, this podcast is a call to action, as is every seminar or webinar or podcast that you're ever a doctor going to listen to. Okay, this is a call to action. So the first thing we want to do is get you thinking and saying, okay, I've been talking about this for a long time. This is my impetus. This is what I want to do. I want, but I'm not sure how to do it. So Janice, start off with the steps that doctors need to take to decide if they're in a position to go to change their relationships or go off of insurance.
Excellent. So you first start first. Good.
That's a good place to start.
Is that okay?
You know what? I do numbers. I don't do letters or English language, but that works for me.
Okay. So whether you're using Dental Intel or Dentometrics, you have to know your dependency on your different insurance plans. So you should have an in-house plan. So you should be able to see that you have that option and read off and know how many patients in your patient base are on that plan, how many are UCR, and then what's the breakdown of your dependency. So you'll notice I say dependency. So your involvement in these plans, the contract that you signed 5, 10 years ago or whenever, it has changed over the years in terms of the number of patients that are on that plan. So one of the first things I do with clients that contact me and say, I need to drop these plans. They're killing me. My overhead is too much. I say, great. Let's look at 5 areas. And so the first one has to do with what are the number of active patients you have in the practice. And so you may show, you know, you have 10,000 patients and 2 doctors, but in reality, an active patient is somebody that came in within the last 18 months. Not 2 years, last 18 months. Those are the people that are still with you. And then of that active patients, I say in general, depending on the economic location where they're at, each doctor needs about 1,800 patients, active patients. Now, the higher end areas, I have an Atlanta doctor. He only has 1,400 patients and he produces 9,000, 7,000 a day. That's very different than a smaller town in Tennessee or Georgia or something, but you have to know your numbers. Second, you need to know how far out are you now booked pertaining to a comprehensive exam. So that means when a patient calls in and asks to be seen and brought on as a new patient, how far out is that patient having to wait? And are you pre-blocking, making sure you're pre-blocked for limited exams? Because oftentimes the driving force for that patient even calling you is that they are in discomfort. So you have to know how far out you're booked, right? Then you have to look at the dependency on each of those plans in terms of what your reimbursement is. So if your profit margin on a particular service is X amount of dollars, you need to then look at what your overhead was, because you're, let's just take a crown. Let's just take a base, okay, simple $1,000 plan to make it, $1,000 reimbursement to make it easy. Let's say your UCR fee is $1,000 on a crown. Hope it's not, but let's say it is. Okay. I'm just going for the easy numbers on that. $1,000. Your overhead on that plan is the same as your patient for UCR. So your UCR fee, of course, are your own fees. And I never use the word out of pocket. It's just your fee. Nobody goes to the grocery store and have the checker say, you know, here's your vegetables and here's your milk and here's your out of pocket. They just tell you how much it costs, right? So right. If on one plan, you're taking a 40% reduction, which is not too unrealistic. You know,
the average is 38 to 42% based on all the numbers I've looked at over the years.
There you go. So that $1,000 crown, you have fixed costs, with the number one being your personnel expenses, which are could be anywhere between, right, 24% in personnel to 29%. That's a fixed cost. That dental assistant and that hygienist that worked on that patient with that reduced fee is the exact same amount. So if your overhead was, let's say, $400 on that crown, and the managed care plan is only paying you what? You do the numbers.
Okay, so if it's a $1,000 crown, it's a 40% discount, that's $600.
$600. So, and that's in best case scenario that your overhead was only $400, then you were making $200 on that crown. What we see more likely, right? Overhead in general is 60% with a 40% profit for the doctor to take home and do what they need to. If then that crown costs $600 and you're only getting paid $600, then what's the scenario?
It's a break. If you, it's almost like you hand the patient, you know, just hand the patient money as you walk out the door.
Yes.
It's crazy.
And so forget the sweat and tears of trying to keep team members. And so instead of trying to nitpick on your employees and, you know, what you could pay them or your supplies, the first step is to look to see how much am I actually getting paid on these plans. Now, the next step is to see what your breakdown is for the number of patients. And usually I tell my clients, you identify those higher, those lower paying, higher dependency patients, perhaps, and then start letting them go. It should be at least a year process, letting them go based on your ability to perhaps never see them again. So I am not one of these consultants that says I can show you how to maintain 60, 70% of your patients even after you dropped these insurance plans, because that's a lie. I don't know if I can say that word, but it's a falsehood, because you're not going to change that particular patient's mindset about they're doing the right thing by using insurance that would allow them to not have any extra expenditure. So you start first with, what's my risk level, and start there. And it's about a year process of educating your patients if you want to drop your bigger plans. And it's about a 6-month process with your team so that they say and do the right things. So one of the most important steps are, and most doctors don't do this and won't do this, they don't listen to the conversations by their team when the patients come in. So one of the companies I use and like a great deal is Patient News, and there's other great ones, Golden Proportions, et cetera. But all the phone calls are recorded, and there is an evaluation of those phone calls by the company, and there will be a section that are listed as you didn't accept their insurance, and there'll be another section that says you didn't have an appointment time for them. The doctor truly should, she really should, click on what those phone calls are and listen firsthand to hear how those calls are handled, because there's always a positive way to say everything. The top two mistakes that I hear on the phone, the first one is the long sigh by the team member that hears a request for a new patient, and you hear them slowly look through the schedule and make comments such as, you know, we're really booked and we don't see patients on Friday. But unless you listen, Art, nobody knows. Nobody knows. So I'm going to start with my first answer being you have to know the facts about your dependency and you have to know how your team is answering the calls in the first place.
Are there some specific reports? You talked about Dental Intel. I mean, there's reports on Eaglesoft and PracticeWorks and Dentrix. I mean, are there some reports that you can point our listeners to that they should be looking at maybe?
Sure. They should be looking at the breakdown. Let's say they produced this month 200,000. What percentage of that, based on the number of patients, was each of those plans? Then what was the dollar amount of each of those plans? Because some of those patients, you may be contractually have to do certain procedures, but there's other procedures that are not involved or listed in that plan that maybe that those patients chose to do and they chose to pay that for themselves. But again, the five reports, I'll go back over them just really quickly. First is, what are the number of active patients that you have, right? Active, they've been in the last 18 months. How far out are you booked for new patients? And look at the breakdown of your dependency, right? What percentage of your patients are on each of those managed care plans? What, and then the report that tells you what kind of patients and where are they coming from what zip codes that are your UCR patients. And then you've got to look at that report that hopefully you're getting from your marketing company. That's what you pay them for, that listens to the phone calls to see what percentage of the patients made an appointment when they called. And then Art, another really important thing to look at, and they, our clients have access to, is what percentage of the calls were answered live and what percent were just went to voicemail. And our patients don't really call in as much anymore as they have that ability to book online. So look at your reports to see how quickly your team recontacted and scheduled that person that tried to contact you online.
So it's complex. One of the things I want you to comment on also, Janice, this is amazing information as always, is I have been told and I have learned and I've been in seminars where if you're going to go down this road, you really need to have a practice where patients really trust you. Isn't that important before? I mean, if they don't trust you and now you're telling them, well, we're changing our relationship with insurance. Well, wait, you don't take my insurance anymore. I'm going somewhere else. But if they trust you, talk about that for a minute.
You know, I think I have a very unusual point of view on this, in that many times doctors think it's themselves that ensues this trust. And that's fine. But your patient's first impression is a lasting impression. And it's old school to have your website and your business Google page focused on the doctor and the long CV. It's all about not having stock photos anymore, having actual beautiful testimonials. And a part of trust now is every dentist should have minimum 250, closer to 1,000 positive reviews. So there's software that's critical to making that happen. So this transfer of trust starts by reading the reviews, and every one of your doctors and everybody listening should be responding to the review. So your patients, long before they call in, et cetera. And then the second part that's critical is the front desk, that's a piece of furniture, I guess, but your administrative team has to be able to listen to themselves and know that that's in critical value. And please totally throw out your old paperwork. You know, I take on a new client, and as they're wanting to drop these plans or become less dependent, I always ask to see their paperwork, because Art, if you look at it, the old school paperwork says name, address, age, birthday, social security number. We're going to ask you for a copy of your driver's license. Are you single, married, just really unhappy in your marriage? Are you Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist, or do you you know, do you not want to talk about God? Can I pray over you? I mean, the long before they've even come in, you've said, what's most important to me is making sure I can chase you down if you don't pay your bill. And so a whole new way of looking at that and a transfer of trust, because that's the question you asked me, right? Is I've changed the paperwork dramatically in my practices. It's not 8 pages with, you know, signing HIPAA. It is a max 2 pages, really easy to read. And it identifies the fact that we've already heard what's important to you. Right now, is there anything else that you want to make sure the doctor knows? And we ask questions like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is your dental health? Where would you rate yourself right now? We don't ask if they smoke. We don't ask if they floss or brush their teeth. I mean, if it's really important at the right moment in time, the hygienist could then say, so what's working for you, Art, at home in terms of your home care? So I look at actually all the ways we bring shame, and shame we know is the most debilitating emotion, and nobody moves forward with that. So I think the doctors would love to think that it's their charming personality, and that's great, but you've had all of these interactions, and if you've made somebody feel bad by, you have a camera up there in the reception area, and the first thing you do is that you take their new patient photo, you know, back from behind a desk. So clearly I'm overly passionate about that subject.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, but you're right. You're absolutely right. I want to get into, on the other side, I want you to tell the folks that are listening a little bit about what you do, a little bit about your book and all this kind of stuff. But on the other side, I want to get into the steps of, okay, we've now, you've given them the 5 tools of what do I have to do before I even decide if I'm going to go on this journey.
Yeah.
Now I want to get into the details of the journey. But first, Jess, tell our listeners a little bit about what you do and how you do it, and about your book. And then I want them to have your contact information in case anybody wants to get a hold of you.
Sure. I'm a practice management consultant and one of the few that still go on site. So we look at what your biggest areas of needs are. And I look back behind the veil and look at your profit and loss statements. I look at all those reports that you and I just discussed. And we figure out a game plan. And I go in quarterly on site, work with you and your team. There's no patients in the morning, and we see patients in the afternoon, and it's very specific, hands-on. So the two things that make me different than most practice manager consultants is I'm the only consultant that you'll see from start to finish. Many companies are large. They have a sales team that will talk to you about the program. And then you may have multiple consultants, even if it's the Spear Institute, they'll have multiple consultants coming in and going. And many consultants no longer go on site. So I go on site plus use Zoom. And my book was really my desire to put down in writing some of the things that I think are more important than what they learn in dental school, right? So I sometimes speak at the dental school for the first class and when they're graduating on image and how the whole focus is, it's all about how that patient feels when they're around you, and it's not about trying to impress them. And then I specifically work with practices that want to understand how to increase their profit margin by decreasing their dependency on outside insurance plans, and how do you attract and keep patients that really do value you. So yeah, that's what I do.
Okay, so you have an offer for my listeners on your book. Maybe if they go ahead, tell me what that would be.
Yeah, the first 5 callers or first people that respond, love to send them a book, sign a book and send it to them, as well as offer them a 30-minute just conversation. If any of them want to just talk to me about where they're at right now, you know, maybe just listen to what the biggest challenge is that they have. I'm a good listener.
What would be the best way for folks to get a hold of you? And we'll make sure that this gets into the show notes also.
An email is fantastic. jhurley@janicehurley.com. And then my phone number is 559-972-0489. But an email works really well, and I would get back to them right away.
Jay Hurley, and that's H-U-R-L-E-Y, which is what it says on your email and my computer screen. So I will assume that's correct. So that's good. And I also
Janice
want
Janice with a C, J-A-N-I-C-E. I realize that sometimes Janice Joplin or somebody different spelled image. It different.
You're very different.
Different image.
That much, I can tell you. Yeah, definitely different image. And you got to send me a copy of that application with all those funny questions you were talking
okay,
about.
I will. Yeah. Are you Baptist, that? Methodist, don't want to talk about God, need to be right. prayed over?
Right. What's your football? What's your football team?
Oh, yeah.
What's your handicap? What's your golf handicap?
What's your golf? Do you have a long game, short game? Which,
Exactly. All right. So let's take the rest of this time, Janice, and let's get into, we've gone through the five things. We've decided, this practice is ready to make some changes in the relationship we have with insurance. Where do we start? What do you do?
Yeah.
Start off.
Can I backtrack for a second? And
you
just
can do whatever you like, dear.
Okay. I want to talk about the diversity of dental practices and how sometimes they're the last ones to know that they should be addressing this. Okay. Specifically, a female dentist, she's about in her early 50s, has taken extensive continued education courses, interested in implants, sleep dentistry, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But as she has tried to lower her overhead, she has raised her fees, right? Which all sounds well and good, right? Until her UCR patients or patients that aren't working with an insurance plan are paying almost $480 for their first visit in the office because she has gone to increasing her fee plus now charging for inner oral photos, et cetera, because she keeps thinking, I'm not making enough, but that's where what I should be doing. Well, in analyzing her situation, because one of the first things I do as a client is look at your fees. I also look at your fees, and these are so out of line. I also noticed that it's almost 2 months before anyone calling in could see her as a new patient, and she is on 4 managed care plans. So it's upside down, right? It's upside right. down. It's upside down. All right. So that's one case. Let me tell you about a second case.
Sure.
A recent client who in the process of reducing overhead figured out that what their real goal was to not be double booked, not to see patients that didn't appreciate them, that always focused on what their insurance paid and wanted nothing else. So as they reduced that dependency, we also had to address how many mouths she had to feed. So that means at this point in time, it's a husband and wife practice, but if you have other associates, are you just keeping on an associate to feed that associate, but they're seeing it doesn't matter who's seeing those managed care plans, you still have that reduced fee, right? So sometimes you have to be able to do what's best for you and your practice and really identify what's important to you. And sometimes keeping one associate, two associates, maybe isn't the best case scenario for you, right? So those were two very different offices, aren't they? And let me quick tell you about a third, and then we'll go on to the other. I have a long-term client, and he doesn't mind if I use his name, Jeff Berger. I started with him when I think he could barely shave, and he heard me speak on profit management in Carlsbad. And he came up afterwards and said, I'm a brand new dentist. My dad's a dentist in the area. My brother's a dentist in the area. I don't really have any idea what I'm doing. And we worked together over the years until he, in an area in Sonora, California, where there are probably 3 times the number of dentists that there should be. And we just this last year are no longer insurance dependent whatsoever. But what it had to do, Art, was with the dynamics that happened after COVID. So Sonora is about an hour and a half away from San Francisco. So when San Francisco's dentists, right, they had that big impact that they had, that they were struggling because the patients that used to come to them when they were at work, many of those patients or employees worked remotely, right? So as they figured out in 2021 and 2022, they could live someplace else, they then moved to Sonora. And now we have a higher end group of patients available to us in Sonora. So we made sure to develop, whether it was our paperwork, our new patient gift, or we always answered the phone. We made sure that, you know, 90, 95% of the time we were answering the phone, a warm towel. They were offered music, of course, with their, you know, you provided headsets. So we got it all ready and dropped the most damaging plans and then eventually became totally independent. But every practice is just so different, but they want to look at the numbers. And then I'd love to do a 30-minute evaluation consultation. If you have listeners that have looked at those numbers and they know how long it is till a patient comes in and they have the ability to listen to phone calls and they know what their profit margin is each quarter, that's where you start a conversation.
Okay. So let's talk about the team, because obviously the communication is not the doctor talking to every single patient about the relationship with insurance. It's the person, the team member at the front desk who's going to say to the patient, by the way, Mrs. Smith, as of August 1st, we are no longer going to be in network. So maybe help us with a little bit of how, because I mean, if you blow that one, that patient's gone, right?
Yes, 100%. So I always start with that overhead on the crown. I really do show them the $1,500 crown, and I really do show them what the overhead is, and we spell it out. And these are people that want the practice to do well. And when they can actually see for themselves, we make no money with those patients. In fact, when we see them in hygiene and they miss even just one appointment, it takes almost 2 years. The profit margin is so small on that. And then I take time with them to say, so what are you the most afraid of? What are you the most afraid of? And let them talk about it. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble if I don't fill the schedule. I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble if my doctor's not producing as much as they, you know, used to. And we let them see that you are actually producing more on the crown that you charged $2,004 and you get to be paid $2,004 than the crown that you charged $2,004, but you really only can charge the $1,200, right? So your doctor's daily production really has to be on what you can be reimbursed, not what it should be. But I let them really talk about, what are you afraid of? What are you the most afraid of? What are you the most afraid of? And then we talk about the fact that every single patient can still use their insurance and they can still be a patient of ours. And so it's all about the wording. And let's go back to three small steps. When you should choose to decide to do this, you decide on a date, hopefully maybe a year from now, if it just depends, and you start helping your patient understand when it's time to present treatment. You would never say you've maxed out. The insurance company taught you to say that. You would never say your insurance is going to cover, right? You instead are saying, this is recommended treatment. Estimated cost $3,000. Looks like you've made really good use of your insurance benefits, and you've got another $600 left. So your portion will be the $2,400. And it's all those conversations that we should be having in the first place, right? And it's teaching the person that answers the phone to make the number one focus what prompted that patient to pick up the phone and not discuss the insurance until towards the end. So if you call me, Art, so pretend you're going to call me, Art, with a need. I'm going to be a person at the front. So, and talk to. I'm going to ask you some questions. So thank you for calling Middle Cough Dental. This is Janice.
Hi, Janice. Thanks for taking my call. My tooth on the bottom left side is really hurting. And I think I need to see somebody to come in. Do you guys accept? I have XYZ insurance. Do you accept that insurance?
Sure. Absolutely. I'm so glad you called. May I have your name again, please?
It's Art Wiederman.
Art. Okay. All right. Can you tell me a little about the toothache and where it's placed?
So it's on the bottom teeth, the left hand side, about in the middle of the left hand side.
Sure.
And it's just throbbing. It's been throbbing all.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's going on, and this has not happened to me before because I brush my teeth every day.
Sure. I'm so sorry. That's probably affecting your sleep and everything else, right?
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
Yeah. So definitely something you want a doctor to see about, correct?
Absolutely. I think that's what I need to do. Yes. Can I?
Yes.
Can I get into your office?
Sure. So you have XYZ insurance plan. We definitely have patients with that plan. When you look at the reimbursement on that, we're what's considered to be a non-participating provider. And so I can give you an estimate as to your portion on this first visit. And my next availability is this afternoon at 3 or tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Which would you prefer?
This afternoon, because this is bad stuff and I need to get it fixed. Yes, I'd love to come in this afternoon.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I'm not going to tell you. You answer it for me. How did you feel as the caller? What did you feel?
So number one, you didn't make a big deal out of the fact. You didn't say, well, we're not in network with your insurer, or we don't take your insurance. You just said, we're what's known as an out-of-network provider. So you didn't lie to the patient.
Nope.
Right? You told them the truth, and you explained to them and say that, you know, we will figure out what you're in. You will receive a benefit from your insurance company.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And we'll calculate all of that for you. And the interesting thing would be if the patients ask, well, wait a minute, you're not in network. What does that mean?
Sure.
So
your team has to be trained to not be afraid of that question, not lie to them, not do as some companies do and say, get them in no matter what. It's like, no. Before they get off the phone, they will know what their portion will be and what their estimated insurance involvement might be. But the focus has to be on empathy for why the patient called in the first place. And you have to quickly offer them a place, which should be a pre-block limited exam, and bring them in.
Everything that I've learned from you and all of our friends that I've gotten to know over 40 years is whatever you do, get them into your office. You can't have a patient unless they come into your office.
You can have a client.
Make
that easy. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to make it easy. And make it, I'm in pain. Okay. It's 10:30. It's 10:30 in the morning. I can see you at 3 o'clock. That's pretty darn good for a healthcare provider to be able to get me in the next 4 or 5 hours.
I mean, and it's critical. I say on a regular basis, your limited exams, your pre-block limited exams are one of your best marketing tools, because whether it's an existing patient who's got discomfort from treatment that was done yesterday, or whether it's a new patient in pain, they want to be seen and should be seen and can be seen when you pre-block like you're supposed to, and you never have the treatment coordinators or whoever's answering the phone or speaking, you never have them say, we can fit you in or we're booked.
No.
But
we will get you. And I think the number one thing, wouldn't it be, Janice, to say to that patient, Art, I hear you loud and clear. We deal with this a lot. And our number one objective is get you in here as soon as we can, which is 3 o'clock today, and get you out of pain. That's what they want to hear, right?
What they want to hear, and that's what they need to hear from you in a compassionate, non-distracted, empathetic voice.
So let's talk about my current patients. I'm now Art Wiederman. I've been your patient for 20 years. I've been on XYZ insurance company. I've been with the same employer. And now you've made the decision, because we hired this consultant named Janice Hurley, to go out of now. Okay. So how do you start the conversation? You've made the decision. Is it the first visit face-to-face? What do we say to that patient? And we say, by the way, Art, now this is what's going to happen.
Yes. Thanks for getting me back on track. It should always start with the hygienist and the dental assistant, and with the doctor being comfortable with it too. It's not done over the phone. It's not done through an email or a letter, or it is done acknowledging that it's the one-on-one and teaching the body language that says, I don't have my gloves on. I don't have a mask. I'm sitting down in front of the patient and I'm saying, Art, oh my gosh, how long have you been a patient here? I think you've been a patient 7 years, right? Oh my gosh. And I've been your hygienist. And you all this time consistently have been using XYZ. You'll be hearing that we're not a participating provider with your insurance plan, but that has is no significance at all in terms of our relationship. We're absolutely still want to continue to be your dentist and provide the best care. What we will do, though, is be able to explain to you how the involvement with your insurance is different at this point and be able to give you an estimate about what your financial responsibility would be, in general, how what's it going to cost you and how might it be a little bit different? But please know, if you have any questions, we want to answer them. And please know that you can maximize your insurance right here.
And if Art Wiederman says to Janice, the hygienist,
yes,
why did you do this? Everything was just fine before.
I know. You're right. Okay, so Art, I'm going to say, backtrack. The most important thing when you get a little response or pushback, the most important thing you say is you're right.
Yes.
So let's just go with that, okay? Now we're going to continue. Do it again so that I can be...
So, go ahead. So Janice, I don't understand. I mean, insurance is very important. And I mean, what prompted you guys to make this decision?
Yeah. You're right. You're right, Art. Insurance is very important, and it's been a big part of your dental experience overall, huh?
Yeah, it has been, and I'm a little concerned about how this is going to affect me. And you know, we have a grandbaby. I mean, whatever it is, right?
Sure. No. I totally understand. So, what has happened over time, and it's not probably a surprise to you, is expenses have gone up. And to continue to have the best team and to pay them as they are due, the insurance companies didn't raise their rates. In fact, many insurance carriers haven't raised their rates for the last 30, 40 years. And your particular plan, if we take the reduced amount that they would like to pay, it wouldn't pay for the quality of care that I think you enjoy here.
Right. And the patients and that's why it's so important to build the trust with the patients, because then the patient who's been a patient for 12, Art Wiederman has been your patient for 20
yep.
years, and you've been my hygienist for 7 years, is going to say, you know, I get it. That makes sense. Everything is going up. I know that you guys are in a business and I love coming here, and I know it. Maybe it'll cost me a little more, but you know what? I love coming to this office. I wouldn't go anywhere else.
Yes. Good point. Really good point. And another one is make sure you never say anything negative about a patient's insurance.
Right.
Don't do that. They're connected to their insurance. When you're disrespectful to the insurance, you're disrespectful to them, and that's not okay.
Now, when we get to, so the theory would be, and why everybody tells me, and you, Janice, of course, are verifying this, that sometimes it takes a year because you've got to talk to every single patient in your practice who is on an insurance plan. And once you've done that, okay?
Yes.
Do you recommend that they send a letter to their patients, or do they not even need to do that because they've talked to everyone?
Good point. So a couple of things. You have to decide for yourself when is this stop date or start date for making this change, because you need to... Every insurance plan has a different contract as to how long
right.
you need to notify them. But you have to choose a date, right? You have to choose a date. And
right.
then I like it twofold. I like the information stated very positively in on a pamphlet or something that you hand the patients, because people like to be able to read it and like to be able to go home and so there's no misunderstanding. I make sure it looks really classy. Can you imagine that? It's done on nice paper.
Really?
It's
I mean, better. This is an audio only podcast, so they cannot see a video, but
right.
you dressed up very nicely for my podcast. Thank you very much.
It's out of respect. It's out of respect. It's
so
we read, you know.
That's right. You must read. Yeah, there you go.
And then a letter that comes to the home, if you still have those addresses, and et cetera. But it's key that it's short doesn't sound defensive. It's just really clear what has taken place. But you've spent a year notifying and having that discussions. And
Because here's an important thing that I know about. And again, it's with, I don't know how many of these insurance companies, but I know some of them do it. Once you notify them that you're going out of network, your patients are going to get a letter.
Yes.
Okay. And Dr. Hurley, your patients are going to get a letter that's going to say something like this. Dear Mr. Wiederman, your dentist, Dr. Janice Hurley, has notified us that they are no longer going to be an in-network provider with our insurance company. We would like you to know, Mr. Wiederman, that there are numerous options within a very short radius of your home that can provide the care that are in network with our company. And here's their names and addresses. Yep. So if we get out ahead of this, and all of our patients have already done that, when they get that letter, that's like, oh, well, that's old news. Throw that in the trash. I know what's going on, right?
Proactive, saying you can expect to hear from your insurance carrier. And they, of course, would like you to go somewhere else.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Now, Janice, you have helped, I'm assuming, I want to bring this full circle because unfortunately, as much as I'd love to sit here and talk to you all day long, I don't have that luxury. But you've done this many times with clients over the last several years, right?
Yes.
What is your experience? Let's talk. I mean, I know that everybody is different because the teams are different, the patients and the cities. But my experience is that doctors that make this change retain a significant number of the patients, and the ones that leave tend to come back. What's your experience on that?
So I believe it's very practice specific because you're much lower end practices. Okay. That's right. Very different. So I hate to, you know, take the easy way out and say it's very
tight. That's okay. No, but you're right.
Okay.
But you have seen doctors who've had success doing this.
Oh, 100%. So to answer that question, I have reduced insurance involvement numerous times. And I've never had a practice go back and re-sign up with those plans ever. And key, though, at the beginning was to understand that you are, particularly in hygiene, and prepare yourself for that. You are going to perhaps lose some patients that will come back as time goes on. And they have to experience the difference in another practice. And you have to have made sure that you had something that set them apart and made them feel important. And there was the transfer of trust, et cetera, that went with it.
Patient experience and everything that you teach, right? Yeah.
Yes. And everybody has to focus on what success means. And maybe success before meant $300,000 a month, and maybe success now means $200,000 a month. Those are round numbers.
Right.
$2,000 a month, but the profit was entirely different, right? So one of the other things I do is make sure I put my teams on a bonus system, and the bonus is dependent upon collections, and it's dependent not specifically on the personnel overhead. So the team has to see and understand that $1,000 crown where you get paid $1,000 is better than $1,000 crown that you get paid $600 on or $400, et cetera. And I let the hygiene talk about the fact that it can feel personal to the hygienist when patients leave, and try and understand that if the only reason they were with you was they didn't have to pay anything to come to the visit, maybe, you know, might want to look at that particular situation.
That may not be the type of patient you want. And I want to address one more thing before we wrap this up. And it's the fear that the doctor has. The doctor has a family. The doctor has a mortgage. The doctor has college education. The doctor has retirement. All these financial obligations. And now you are basically doing something and recommending something that they could be at risk. How do you, as a consultant, dispel the fear from the doctor and saying, doctor, this is going to be okay if we do this right.
Yes.
We are going to lose. So how do you do that?
Yes. So it's the only time I make a promise, and I promise them they will never take home less than what they are right now.
Ah, okay. Well,
that's, so that's a big guarantee.
That's a bold promise.
Okay, thanks. But I only make that, of course, after we've looked at their P&L, we've right. listened to their phone calls, and they have to do it in the order that we recommend, right? Which is they have to provide a great experience because there's a false security in the fact that you have $1 million practice or $2 million practice. I just look at your P&L. I just look at how much you make. And if you're bigger, if you tell me you want to take home over the year, you know, right? You want to take home $500,000, six, whatever it is you have been taking, I promise you, you will not take home less. It will look differently. It may feel different. You know, it's art. One of the funny things, insecurities comes into play when they go, it just doesn't seem like the phone's ringing as much, or it doesn't seem like we're as busy. Well, okay, but can we look at what your profit was? Can we look at what your profit is? Can we look at what your profit is?
You have more free time. You get to spend more time with your patients. You get to do more comprehensive treatment planning. Whereas yes. before, you've been on roller skates your entire career, doctor. But again, you know, number one, I, and my listeners over 5.5 years of this podcast know that my mantra is that my life is a math problem. This is a math problem.
Yes,
And Janice understands, and you and I understand, it's numbers. And for the doctors that get it, it's great. And there are going to be some doctors who are just not going to be able to wrap their arms around this concept. And you know what? That's okay. For those doctors, maybe they need to go to somebody who's going to help them get higher reimbursements from insurance companies or pick the right plan.
And good luck with that, right? Good luck with that.
Exactly. But anyway, you are golden, and I like dealing with classy people, and you are that. I want you to give out your contact information one more time. Again, Janice's book is called Dental Image Branding, How to Create Optimal Patient Impact. It is available on, I'm guessing, Amazon and all the different places you can buy books. But if for the first 5 people that email Janice, right, they will get a copy. And folks, let me say this. And again, my regular listeners know that I don't get anything. I have never gotten a dime or anything from anybody that has been on this podcast. I do this out of love for the dental profession and my desire to help you. So. But if you are having this thought in your mind, if you've been having this conversation in your office about these insurance plans are kicking our butt, we need to do something about them, but we don't know what. Janice, how do they get a hold of you?
Yes, jhurley@janicehurley.com or the phone number 559-972-0489 or just Google Janice Hurley Dentistry. My website will pop up as well as my Google business page. Thank you.
All right. Janice, hang on as I take this out, if you'd hang with me for another minute or two. Folks, this has been just a great conversation. I learn every single time. And I love when we do, you know, going back and forth with the guests and we do a little role play as far as, okay, well, all right, so Archer calling up and this is great stuff. And if you are having this conversation with your team and you're thinking about this and you're having it with your family at home. Again, this podcast is a call to action. If this is bothering you, here's an opportunity to say, let's do something about it. So I again want to thank my wonderful partner in crime, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com, 140 CE courses for a very reasonable price. Go to www.decisionsindentistry.com. I am a founding member of the Academy of Dental CPAs, www.adcpa.org. Some of my best friends in the world, Janice knows many of them. And if you are looking for a dental CPA, Ide Bailey, we've got your back. I mean, we've got more resources than when I joined this firm, it was unbelievable. It's like a kid in a candy store. Imagine you're a dentist and you've got Gordon Christensen, John Coyce, Frank Spear, the Pankey Institute, all at your fingertips. That's what I have from a tax and accounting and a business standpoint. My email is aweiderman@idebailey, spelled IdeBailly.com. And my phone number is 657-279-3243. Please call me if you need some help, you need resources, you have a question, just email and say hello. Tell me who your favorite football team. I mean, whatever you want to do. I'm a sports freak, nuts, and everything like that. Janice Hurley, you are golden. Thank you so much for your time and expertise today. All right, folks, and that will do it for this edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. Again, thank you for the honor and privilege of your time, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman@idebailey.com. That's awiederman at eidebailly.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.